touch that soundboard. So he uses the Genesis blame game for anyone else.
Amen. Yeah. By the way, if anybody would like to text Pastor Hampton with questions or prayer requests, you can do that at 334-669-0920. And text only, please, y'all.
All right. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15. I appreciate you coming in, even if just a few minutes late. No, I'm just kidding. I'm good. Ooh, you are a perfect wife then. Anybody who can do that in 30 minutes, that is fantastico. My wife is that way. I tell you, I do have a perfect wife. She can flat get ready. She was in her pajamas about 10 till. She ran up there, got her hair all foo-foo, put on a fantastic outfit. She looks great.
I'm in trouble because I don't have the perfect wife. It takes her an hour just to comb her hair.
Well, some it does, but you know, we're like, Brenda and I are like dashers, you know. We like to get out and about. You too? Yeah, I can be ready in 20 minutes, packed up, ready to leave. People say, you're the fastest guy I've ever seen take a shower and get packed up, and I even make my bed every morning. So, all right, 1 Corinthians 15, we appreciate you watching in. We're talking about the middle wall of petition. And we started that last week, and we're dealing in that issue. And most, there is a lot of grace believers that believe that it is a division really between the Jews and the Gentiles. And I don't believe that. Okay? I believe it's Jews and Gentiles inside the promises and the Gentiles outside. All right, don't stick those back up. Find a new home for them.
File 13.
Outside the promise. That's part of my end. Anyway, so I believe it's between the Jews and Gentiles inside a promise and Gentiles outside of the promise. And not between the Jews and the Gentiles. See, I was going to go to 1 Corinthians, but go back to Acts 13, kind of where we were hanging out last time. And go to Acts chapter 13 and read with me in Acts chapter 13, if you don't mind. Acts chapter 13, verse 23. Of this man's seed hath God, according to his... You got that? I want you to underline promise. Raised onto Israel a what? A Savior, Jesus. What should you have outside of that? Luke chapter 1, verse 67, 68, and 69. Okay, that's what you should have in your Bible right there. And if you don't, you need to take time to write it. Because let me tell you, the realization is you won't remember it. You know, you're bright, you're brilliant, write it down. Okay? And so the promise was to Israel a Savior. The promise was never to the world. Norm came up before we started this morning and said, there's no covenant to the Gentiles. No kidding. We are not a new covenant people. Yeah, all that is hokey pokey stuff. It's that they've heard it so long that they're actually believing their own lies. It's just like tithing. They literally believe what they're doing every week in collection is a tithe. When it was once a year and it was a bar, and I mean, they get in their mind what they think is right. But folks, listen, our job isn't to think what is right. And it's not even saying that I am right. Y'all understand that? I'm not so egotistical. All right, I might have a little ego. But I'm not so egotistical that I think I'm right 100% of the time. It's just 99.9. You know, and that's it. You know? And but when you come down to the promise, God had made some promises. Now, you know, He never promised to save a Gentile at all. That wasn't the promise. What was the covenant's promise? A blessing, wasn't it? Blessings didn't include, quote, eternal life until we get to Paul's epistles. Come down to verse 26. Look at this. He said, men and brethren, the children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. Now that's two groups of people. Men and brethren, which are the children of the stock of Abraham. You see that? That's one group of people. And whosoever among you what? That is the Gentiles inside of covenant. And in the passage, that's exactly what happens. Paul preaches the message of salvation in the synagogue, verse 38 and 39. And they're walking out, verse 42. Now watch this. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath day. Now these are Gentiles that are connected to Israel. They're in the promise of Israel. That's who we're talking about here. And there's no, seem to be no, freak out about the Gentiles asking this. There were no, like, you know, they weren't walking around. Yes.
What's a proselyte?
A proselyte is a Gentile that became a Jew. He's been circumcised. And therefore, he's in that covenant because he is basically a Jew. And he went under the law. That's exactly right. Now watch. This is really important. Now watch. 42. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath day. Now when the congregation was broken up, the Jews and the religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, speaking... Now watch this. Who, speaking to them, persuading them to continue in the grace of God. Notice that I want you to see the attitude. There's Paul and Barnabas, and the Gentiles are rushing them and said, will you preach this to the next generation? Yeah, and when the crowd broke up, guess what? The Jews were there talking to Paul that they should continue in the grace of God. There isn't like, oh, the Gentiles shouldn't hear this. This is much too rich for the Gentiles. You don't hear any of that. Isn't that weird? But when he says that he's going to those Gentiles in Acts 22, man, they are, it's a different story. Notice this. Acts chapter 22.
Well, they kind of understood the promise because they get it first and we, you know, they would get the follow-up.
Well, that's right, but not here. When they heard this, you know that it had to be a different group of Gentiles. Because they're not going around and saying, okay, yeah, let them hear it next week. You know, that's great. What about the grace of God and talking to Paul and continuing on? That's not what happens in this place. And the comparison between Acts chapter 13 and Acts chapter 22 is huge. In Acts chapter 22, I want to start in verse 21. Acts 22, verse 21. And when he said, depart, for I'll send thee far hence unto the Gentiles, these Gentiles are outside the covenant. These Gentiles would represent you in this room, having no hope and on. I'll get to that in just a minute. Do you understand that that's who he's talking about? He's been going to Gentiles all along. They haven't tried to kill him for that. They tried to kill him for the message, but they haven't killed him because the Gentiles get to hear after the Jews. Now watch this. Verse 22. And they gave him audience unto this word, and then lifted up their voice and say, away with such a fellow from the earth. It's not fit that he should live. You're telling me that God is going to save Gentiles outside the covenant? What, are you crazy? We need to damn you. We need to stone you. We need to condemn you for saying that. What are you saying, that God is going out to the heathens? Do you understand the difference? And they cried out and cast off their clothes and threw dust in the air. And it hadn't been for that Gentile captain, that Roman captain, he'd have been in trouble. Okay? They were going to kill him, guys. Go back to Acts 13. There's no death threat here. They get jealous, but they're not a death threat. Go back to Acts chapter 13. Isn't this fascinating? Don't you find that just a tad bit fascinating? Okay, maybe not. You guys are looking at me like that's not fascinating at all. I found that fascinating. Oh. It's fascinating to Gene. Thank God. Amen, Gene. I'm preaching to you, baby. You get, listen, if you were the only one that came, you'd get the message. Bronx, do you got it? Are you shocked? She's not shocked either. That was like, you know, I'm trying to make that, you know, that crescendo that is, you know, building up. You guys are like. Well, I'm going to read that in just a second. Acts 13. Now, notice that when they did see the Gentiles here, the Jews got jealous. But they didn't say, away with such a fellow. Look in verse 44. The next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. And when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. They were putting down what Paul said. Not that the Gentiles didn't have the right to hear. Y'all understand? The frustration for the Jews was the message, not who was hearing it. Although they were filled with envy because of the multitude. You understand? That's why they did it. But there was not like, oh, the Gentiles don't have the right to hear. And that's why, take Romans chapter 1. We will probably keep swinging back. Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1, read with me if you will, in verse 16. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it, the what? The gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the what? That you should have Acts chapter 13, verse 26 written right out there. You got that? Yeah, 41's not bad too. You can throw 41 in there too. Okay? And now, you've got to understand, that's exactly how God designed it. Now go back to Acts chapter 13 for a minute. See, we were going to turn back immediately. Verse 46. Acts 13, verse 46. Read with me. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. That's Romans chapter 1, verse 16. You need to write right there in your Bible. You with me? Romans 1, 16, to the Jew first. It was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing that you put it from you, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles, and these are Gentiles inside the covenant. These are Gentiles that had blessed Israel. These are Gentiles that had done works of righteousness. What would works of righteousness have been? Blessed. Works of righteousness for a Gentile was not, quote, keeping the commandments. Do you think they would try to keep the commandments?
Sure.
They probably, but they were not under the law. Do you all understand that? What?
They weren't
required to, but I'm sure that they would try to, out of respect. You all understand? Out of some respect, they would do that. And then some became Jewish proselytes. That is, they took the next step and actually got circumcised and came under the law. Okay? So when we're talking about the middle wall of petition, I don't believe it's between the Jew and the Gentiles. I mean, when Paul starts out, his first missionary journey is in Acts chapter 13. What do we see him talking to? To the Jew first and also to the Greek. What did he say in verse 26? Men and brethren, the children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God. Those are the two groups of Jews and Gentiles, and I believe that's on one side of the middle wall. That is, there's been a promise, and God is fulfilling His promise. But there's a middle wall in the Ephesian letter. The Ephesian letter was really written to these people outside the covenant. He had already, the first Ephesians were over here. They were part of the Gentiles that were in the promise. Y'all understand? And that's kind of where we cut out last time. So that's where we're picking up now. Y'all with me at this point? Bronx, are you with me? Kevin? Gene? Wayne, I'm not even asking him. He's not feeling good. He's got like, la, la, la. I'm glad he's here, but he's like, la, la. I think he took two extra. Yes, he can hear me. Fine. My voice is going through those earphones to the internet. Trust me. Oh, now he's cutting it off. Miss Hampton? Would you go get me a glass of water and then bring it up here and show your nice outfit off? I actually just want the water. I don't care if you show the outfit off. What? Did she tell you to go get it? That woman of mine, I'm telling you, she's Jezebel too. No, I'm just kidding. I'm joking. You know, it's funny because a lot of people think to control your wife, you need to beat them and yell at them and slap them around and keep them straight.
You don't?
No. No. You just joke about everything and they're not sure whether you're serious or not, you know? And mine's confused all the time. Oh, look at this. She is something else. Baby? She asked me when we were first dating, are you a Christian? I said, I am tonight, baby. I was a lying heathen, buddy. I went over there to kiss her. It was so funny. I walked her to a door and I went to kiss her and she went like this. I'm like, huh? And so I tried again and I'm like, man, I ain't going for number three. If I strike out, I'm in trouble. She says, I don't kiss on the first date. But what are you on the second one? No, I'm just kidding. I tell you what. I've been great. I love being married. It's the best thing ever happened to me. Outside again and said, well, she brought me to the Lord too. He said, listen, you need a little bit of Jesus in you. Thanks, brother. All right, Acts chapter 13. Now we've gone from preaching to meddling. All right. Anyway, verse 47, For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles. Now those Gentiles are the Gentiles inside of the promise. That is a quote from Isaiah 49 verse 6. I would write that in my Bible. Isaiah 49 verse 6. Okay? And it's really a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ, but it's a dual prophecy, that of that and of Paul. You all understand? And he says, and as many as were ordained to eternal... verse 48. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad, glorified the word of the Lord. What were they glad about? That this message was actually coming to them. What message? That of 38 and 39 that had been preached. What was that message? That you could be justified from all things which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Was there any justification for murder?
No.
How about adultery?
No.
You couldn't go to the priest and say, I want to confess my sins. They said, what'd you do? Well, I committed adultery. Grab him! And stuff. We know it ain't happening today, amen? And listen, if that was unforgivable then, and people are under the law today, would it be still unforgivable? Yeah, it is. What made that you could be forgiven from that and all sin was the blood of Jesus Christ. And who was the first one that preached that? Paul. That makes it a relatively difficult situation. Okay? So, now, moving on. Go to Acts chapter 18. Yes. Yes. Although it's not evident, other than in the Galatians letter, in the third chapter, he says whose eyes Jesus had been evidently set forth and crucified among you. That line tells me that the Galatians were there. There is no apparent that he saw the crucifixion or any of that, but that he was alive during that time. Oh, I think, yeah. Oh, it was the biggest thing since, it was like the election of Obama. That was huge. You all understand? I mean, it's the biggest thing ever rocked the world. Other than Michael Jackson's death, that might have been a little bit larger. I'm not sure which one was bigger. Yes. About 3.5 years. Yeah, approximately that. Very hard to tell, but about 3.5 years. Oh, yes, yeah. I mean, when he died, he was around 65 or 67. When he started his ministry, around 25 or 30. Acts chapter 18. I want to start in 18, I guess. 18. And Paul, after this, tarried there a good while, and then he took leave of the brethren and sailed thence into Syria, and with him, Priscilla and Aquila, having sown his oath in Caesarea. For he had a vow, he shaved his head. He came to Ephesus and left them there, but he himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. Why could Aquila and Priscilla not go? They were Gentiles. They couldn't get in the temple. Paul, doing a very Jewish thing, made a vow. He shaved his head. Why? He's doing things for the Jews. And when they desired him to tarry long time with them, he consented not, but bade them farewell. I must by all means keep the feast that cometh in Jerusalem, and I will return again unto you, if God will. And he sailed from Ephesus. That's the first time he went to Ephesus. He goes in, no disruption, no problem. Acts chapter 19. Yes, sir.
From a human point of view, Paul was a perfect person to deliver the gospel because he was a Jew.
And a Gentile.
And he was a Gentile and had Roman citizenship and he was trained, so he knew all the old. He was a perfect.
He was absolutely perfect for this job. Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, come on down to Acts chapter 19. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to what? This is his second time to Ephesus. See, he'd already been to Ephesus, then he left Ephesus and went where? He went back to Jerusalem to do what? To keep the feast. Now he's come back, finding certain disciples. Now he finds 12 disciples, and they'd all been baptized onto John's baptism. They don't even know about Jesus. What was John's baptism? Yeah, baptism, repentance, that what? There was one that was coming after me who's mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. And he shall baptize you with the what? Holy Ghost and with fire. These people didn't know about Jesus. All they knew was John's baptism, and they'd somehow gotten out of the area and didn't know. So some of these people didn't know Jesus had died. But they knew that Jesus was coming. Why? John had preached the coming of the Lord. Y'all with me? Y'all, yeah. I mean, these are like little Bible stories that we heard when we were little. John's out there in the Jordan preaching repentance to the nation of Israel. And the Pharisees came and all the religious people. And he said, hey, who's warned you to flee the wrath to come? You know? Well, that baptism had nothing to do with Jesus other than it was proclaiming that Jesus was coming. They didn't know. These disciples didn't know either. Either? I don't understand English. Either?
Either in Alabama, either in New York.
Oh, got it. Roger that. It's a dialectual difference between the Yankees and the Southerners. Yeah, y'all come back now. All right, anyway, what? All right, now verse 2. And he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Now remember, what was the promise? That there was one coming after John who was mightier than I, who shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Matthew 3, verse 11. You may want to put that in there. Matthew 3, verse 11. Okay? Now, people ask, what baptism did they get? Did they get water baptized here? Maybe. But they definitely got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You understand? That I don't think that Paul necessarily baptized these people in water. They'd already been baptized in water on the John's. What they needed was the baptism that Jesus came, which was the what? Right. You all understand? So I don't think it's water baptism here. Right. Watch. And he said unto them, what were ye baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Verse 4. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. You see that? That is Matthew chapter 3, verse 11 right there. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, I don't think that was... I believe they got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Because what was it that they needed? They needed the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They'd already been dunked in water. They needed that baptism of the one that was coming after him. But, boy, I tell you what, there's a lot of people that will try to make this fixation. And you know what? I just don't even let it bother me. Just chill out. If they want to think it's water, who cares? They still needed the Holy Ghost. If they didn't get the Holy Ghost, but look what happened. And when Paul laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came upon them. And they spake with what? Tongues. Why? Tongues are for a sign. 1 Corinthians 14:22 should be written right there. And the Jews require a sign is 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22. You need both of those verses there. All right, 1 Corinthians 14:22. Tongues are for a sign. Everybody. Tongues are for a sign. 1 Corinthians 1:22. The Jews require a sign. With me? Would that have been apparent that they got the Holy Ghost? Yes. Now, verse 8. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing, persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. Not the kingdom of heaven. What's the difference between the kingdom of God? One's a field, one's a garden. Okay? The kingdom of God is righteousness. Okay? That's Romans chapter 14. I can't remember the verse. Does anybody know the verse? Just a second. Give me just a second. Verse 17. About the kingdom of God. It's not meat or drink, but peace and the Holy Ghost or something like that. Romans 14:17 goes right there by verse 8. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way. That way is Acts chapter 13, verse 38 and 39. Y'all with me? It is about being justified from all things which you could not be justified by the what? Law of Moses. Are y'all getting this? Anybody learning anything today? Gene is. Thank God. Who already knew it all? Larry, get up here and teach, brother. Huh? All right. I'm going to start asking you for the reference. What reference should go out there? And we're going to take a pop quiz. We're going to do it backwards. Teacher being mean. Verse 9. But when divers were hardened, and what did the word diver mean? Many. Multiple. Lots. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way, Acts 13, 38 and 39, the multitudes, he departed them from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued for the space of 2 years. Now watch. So that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord. Was that Jew and Gentiles? You got it? It was Jew and Gentile. You see that? And that is and he says both Jews and Greeks heard. Okay? Now that's these. Would he have talked to anybody here? No. And the Ephesian letter is really written about that second group. Now, he knows these people. How long did he spend with them?
3 months.
2 years, 3 months. Right? 3 months in the synagogue, 2 years in the school of one Tyrannus. 2 years, 3 months. How well do you think we'll get to know each other in 2 years and 3 months? Plenty. Probably too good. That's why we're always around. We're like family. Hey, why didn't you show up early? I mean, Stan goes, boy, everybody's in a bad mood today. No, they're just brothers and sisters. You know, that's how they act. Music's too loud. And this is too loud. You know? Got it? But you know what? These people knew each other intimately. He loved these people. Just like I love you guys. I love Gene more than you guys. That's because, no, I don't love you as much as Gene. No.
These are insurance closely with Bruce because, I mean, they had something that nobody else had.
Oh. Absolutely. I mean, there was a fellowship there in the truth. As we've got, like, I got to talking to Carlton last night on the phone, and he's in there just kind of glorying in the Lord. Man, this truth is just unbelievable. Well, we had that bond, that fellowship. How many can you actually have that with? You can have that. Can anybody have an intelligent conversation with somebody at work about the gospel? I mean, it's like, how about Paul the Apostle to the Gentiles? What are you, some kind of weirdo freak? But we have that bond as well. And it is exactly the same as what they had. Now, they knew that. Meeting? A lot. They met a lot. You ought to meet more, don't you think? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, it was probably more than the Sabbath. Absolutely. All right. Now, verse 30:29. And the whole city was filled with confusion. Y'all there in Acts 19? 29? Well, I'm going to cover it up a little bit more. Verse 24. There was a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, which made silver shrines for Diana. Now, who are the Dianas? Those are the people outside the covenant, and they had a statue that had lots of breast to feed all the children. And she was the queen of heaven. And that's a penguin. But they worshiped this goddess. And this lady is the queen of heaven. She is, ready for this? Noted as the mother of God. Kind of where Mother Mary might have come from. She is a part of the God of this world and the religious system. But it didn't matter. Now, there were some Ephesians that heard the truth. They were the first Ephesians. Y'all with me so far? And they weren't idol worshiping. They were connected to who? Israel. Okay, but there is another sect at that same place who are the outside the covenant. Now, verse 25. Whom he called together with the workmen of like occupation and said, sirs, you know that by this craft we have our wealth. You know, what do you think about all the people who make their money off of churches? Sound equipment. Envelopes. Posters. All the stuff that they make their money off of churches. And they don't really care about the church. In fact, I know for a fact, I used to do printing for other churches. And it used to frustrate me in the back of my mind, honestly, that I'm helping this church grow and I don't believe their doctrine. Would it bother you? Yeah. I stop by and pull up and buy some or car wash and you're supporting them. Right. Now, think about that. That's how these Ephesians work. And so he's brought the craftsmen together and he said, this is how we make our wealth. Verse 26, more of you have ye see and hear that not alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul hath persuaded and turned away much people, saying that they be no gods which are made with hands. Now, think about the message that Paul's saying. That who's our God? The Lord Jesus Christ. He's not made with hands. He's not an image. He's not one you can bow down and move around. But these guys were selling imagery. Statues and statuettes that people could put in their home and worship. But our God is much bigger than that of a handcrafted idol. And he was about to destroy their business. And he says, verse 27, so that not only this, our craft, is in danger, to be set at naught, but also the temple of the great goddess Diana. And by the way, the temple in Ephesus was the largest structure outside of the arena, was larger. But as a temple, it was the largest temple in the world. So it would be like Fraser saying, we're about to lose our church. Because this little grace church is trying to persuade people that there's really an apostle to the Gentiles. I know. Now watch. Verse 27. So that not only our craft is in danger to be set at naught, but also the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised, and her magnificence should be destroyed, with whom all Asia and the world worshipeth. These are idol worshiping Gentiles. We're talking about the idol worshiping Gentiles. Do you think Paul would have gone to them? No. No. But these other Ephesians he knew. Now go to Ephesians chapter. I'm out of time. Should we continue this in the next? It's like a cliffhanger, isn't it? Would you come back to the next hour if I do that?
I'll come back either way, but I want
to. All right, go to Ephesians.
It looks what?
I learned this from TV. You leave them hanging, you know?
Who shot JR?
Yeah. What? JR got shot? Verse 13. Verse 12. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12. That we should be to the praise of His glory who first struck. That we are these people right here. The first Ephesians. How long did he spend with them? Okay. And these are the we. They first trusted in Christ. In whom ye also trusted. Now that ye is a different group. Ye also trusted. And when we get to these pronouns here in just a minute, you'll start to see the division. So let's take a break now. I'll give you a little bit of a taste. Get you ready, and we'll see you back in 15 minutes.
So what time should Dad come in? Yes, well, you're going to go out for lunch and stuff.
During the break, do it now. We'll pick them up at 11 and read them.
If you want to send those prayer requests, the number is 334-669-0920.
Heaven, because you were forsaken, unaccepted, because you were condemned. I'm alive and well, your spirit is within me, because you died. Again. Amazing love, how can it be? You, my King, would die for me. Amazing love, I know it's true. And it's my joy to honor. I honor you. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted because you were condemned.